Blog Talk Radio.
Let me start the show out tonight by making a statement right up front so that everybody hears it, that I am in agreement with the public opinion that George Zimmerman, the man who shot Trayvon Martin February 26, 2012, is a douchebag. But then let me make also the counterpoint before we get rolling into this, that I also believe that Trayvon Martin is probably a douchebag. And what happened on the night of February 26th, although we'll probably never know exactly what happened, is that two douchebags met in the night, and what happens when two douchebags meet happens, and there happens to have been a gun involved in the whole situation. So, hey, everybody, it's 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you are listening to The U's with your hosts Jason Sorrell and Rotten Biohazard. Tonight we're going to be talking about racism, especially the way it's being handled with in light of the Trayvon Martin shooting. And before we roll into that, man, Rotten, how you been?
Man, I'll tell you, this whole topic not been picked for a better night, to say the least. But other than that, things are okay. School's kind of, well, school is school. I think we're just going to leave it at that. And definitely some other stuff's going on in my life. A buddy of mine, probably going to be going down there in July, hanging out with him for a while. So things are good.
Right on. We got the Jason Sorrell adult coloring book. Or a cookbook for adults, I think the actual title. We got that finished, and I got an email from my publisher or my printer or whatever you want to call it, lulu.com. I don't want it to sound more pretentious than it actually is. The book is on its way. So we wanted to get the final proof before we released it. And on FetLife, a forum that I frequent, a lot of people have stepped up and said they're interested in purchasing it. So I'm looking, you know, waiting for that proof to get there, and I'm going to get a hold of all these people and go, hey, it's ready, and come buy this book, and, I don't know, retire or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
So, that's the exciting things that have been going on. I'm wearing my Dead Girls Don't Say No t-shirt, so I got my piece of that in the mail here recently, so I'm excited about that. Turned out really, really well. The colors are really close to, you know, I mean, there's certain limitations of printing. The colors were really close to what I had when I did up in Photoshop, so very happy about that. And I got the nude version. My girlfriend suggested I get the nude version.
Why
not?
Of course, girlfriend would, man. She's a chick who likes to run over and spank the paddle, of course, you know.
Right. So I'm waiting to wear it out into the world and get that weird eyeball from people when they see the boobies and pussy on my on my Dead Girls Don't Say No t-shirt. Getting ready to graduate. So that's the thing that we're dealing with right now. We're trying to get her graduated and out the fucking door. I mean, get her graduated and do all the stuff she needs to do. She's going on a little vacation after she graduates. We got that going on. My 12-year-old's coming down here in the summer. We're getting ready for that in a couple of months. Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff going on. But tonight, we're going to be talking about racism. We're going to be talking about the Trayvon Martin shooting. We're going to be talking, and my focus on the racism end of it is going to be on how racism is being used by special interest groups and the media to basically manipulate public opinion. And it's almost like they're not even talking about the Trayvon Martin shooting anymore. They're not talking about this kid that got shot. They're not talking about this guy that shot anybody anymore. It seems like, although that's what they're saying, but they're really talking about an issue that, as you'll hear as we go on with the show tonight, I feel is a completely separate thing. Now, if you want to call in, phone number is 347-989-1371. We welcome your calls. We're going to welcome your opinion. You want to call in and give us your thoughts on the way you see the media using racism in this particular issue, whether you think it was a racially motivated shooting, or what your opinion is of what you see going on. Go ahead and give us a call. But I expect with this particular topic, like other topics we've done in the past, that occasionally we'll get some new listeners calling in who will want to rally on or go on about, you know, their little platform related to this issue. If you're calling in to, you know, proselytize about your particular group, your particular platform, whatever, unless you're calling about the Satanic International Network, I'll hang up on your ass. So be ready for that. Keep it to the short, to the point, because there's a lot of information we got to go over, or I want to go over. And if necessary, we'll stretch it out into a two-hour show. But if we can all pack it in 60 minutes nice and neat, that'd be fine as well. So I don't know. I got some ideas about how to start this, I guess. Just want to review the facts, basically. And when I say facts, I think of it as in facts in mathematics. A fact is something you can prove or disprove.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a truth, which is different than a fact. A fact is just a statement that can be tested. So some things are going on, facts, you know, dealing with this case. From what we've heard so far through the media, on February 26, 2012, Trayvon Martin was shot and killed by George Zimmerman. Eyewitnesses reported a scuffle before the shooting. And I've listened to the 911 calls, not only the George Zimmerman call, but the calls from other people. You can go to the Wikipedia page, the Trayvon Martin Wikipedia page, and actually listen to the calls. I listened to the calls, you know, heard the different things going on. Somebody shouting for help in the, you know, in the background, some of these calls and everything. There are people who have stepped forward and said that they're fairly certain that that is George Zimmerman actually calling for help. I listened to Zimmerman's 911 call, and just some information about George Zimmerman. We're going to talk about Trayvon Martin. George Zimmerman, years ago, I don't know how many years ago, but in his past, he has, like, one serious violation on his criminal record. He apparently had a domestic violence charge against him that was, you know, pushed by his fiancée at the time. So the guy may or may not like to slap his women around. There might be that going on, okay? The guy is interested in law enforcement. He went to the special training program to be part of this community watch thing. He's the captain of this community watch group. The media says self-appointed. Well, that's kind of the way this thing it works. If you're having community watch, one guy organizes it or somebody organizes it, they're the captain. That's the way the fucking thing works. So he's the captain of community watch in his neighborhood. So he's out doing his thing. He's on patrol, okay? Where he's a douchebag. And follow my logic on this. He's a douchebag. He's a wannabe cop. And that's
why
he captain with George Zimmerman. What's that?
But dude. This dude's basically, like, once, like, at least a couple of steps, you know, like, mall cop. Who the fuck in their right mind hands this dude a gun? Even the fact,
right.
even if you throw out the fact that this dude has a domestic violence, one charge, even throw off the table,
right.
Why are you giving this dude a gun? Especially in neighborhood, because
right.
It was not a poor neighborhood. This was a gated community, at least somewhat affluent, higher middle class. Why would, you know, and he basically went after this black kid. I mean, I understand it's some degree he's black. He's dark. It's hoodie. Come on.
Right.
But why is this dude handling a gun? Where does that fit in? Why? I don't get it.
Well, and that's the question I would ask. Now, the man having a gun, having a concealed carry license, that is entirely his right. Second Amendment right. He was licensed by the state. He was given a gun. So he's not like... He's out walking around with a gun illegally. We're going to come to the gun also here in a minute because there's some questions about why that gun wasn't confiscated since it was used in a shooting by the police. So the police really dropped the ball in this whole thing. but, you know, the man had every right to be out there with a gun. The problem is in his capacity as captain of the neighborhood watch, his job is to watch. He should be armed with a cell phone, not with a pistol. It is not his job to intervene. As a matter of fact, during the 911 call, when he initially called in and said that there was some kid out here, some guy out here walking around,
yes.
He's apparently black, he's casing the joint, whatever, he goes, he's like, where do you see this guy now? I'm following him down this street. The 911 operator said, or the emergency, the call tech said, it wasn't 911.
Do not keep following him.
Right. Don't follow him. Just, you know, let us know about where he's at, you know, when you see him disappear, you know, whatever. we'll send police, let the police do that. So this guy, like I said, he wants to be a cop. He was overzealous in his effort as the community watch captain that evening, and the result is a dead black young man, okay, teenager. All right. So George Zimmerman, douchebag, but not necessarily a racist, okay?
It's kind of hard to be racist when you have Mexican, too. You know, I mean, actually, if you was completely white, you know, come on.
See, and that's something we're going to touch on too. But I just want to point out that based on this guy's attitude, his zeal for criminal enforcement, the person in that hoodie that night could have been a white kid, could have been a Mexican kid, could have been Asian, whatever, could have been Martian. He sees somebody in a hoodie and baggy pants or whatever walking around his neighborhood like he doesn't know where he's going, or he does know where he's going, and he's checking out houses, and that makes this trigger happy nut nervous. Okay. So then this trigger happy nut who's nervous starts following this kid. Okay, now let's talk about Trayvon Martin real quick here. 17 years old at the time of his death. When the news first broke about Trayvon Martin, the issue was, you know, they were told he's a good student, good kid, never had anything go wrong with the criminal record, nothing, just a good kid. That was the initial account.
Apparently found out the kid was suspended the week before school for having baggy with some pot residue in it. And then, of course, the parents are all up in arms about that because now they feel that the media is trying to demonize their son, which I guess I can somewhat understand, but in the same instance, dude, this kid did it. It's got to be, you know, brought up into all this as well. Your son was not exactly perfect.
Right. If you're going to have a media that's impartial, you have to kind of bring up that, you know, this kid might have had a look like he, you know, to a neighborhood watch wannabe cop, might have had a look to him, might have had a kind of, you know, nobody should die because of the way they look. This kid not only had that bust where he's got an empty bag of pot at school, okay?
Yeah. Now you picked up anywhere.
Where was it? Was it emptied at school? You know, what conclusions do you draw about that? Who takes an empty bag of pot with them to school?
Okay,
that makes no sense. So more than likely that morning before he was busted with it, the bag of pot was probably full. Okay, so the kid had been suspended three times for different things, not just the bag of pot. The kid had been suspended three times.
Oh,
and so he's not the angel that people wanted him to be. Now, to his defense, he was an A, B, maybe a C student, you know, B student, B average student, was doing well, was into sports, was on his way to graduation, had no real criminal run-in with the law other than that empty bag of pot. And I'm not going to fault him for smoking pot. It's just, you know, it's violating the law, right? So
even though when it comes to the kid being 17 and black, it tends to look like a stereotype.
Right, and that's and about the way the guy was dressed, because that was part of the thing that came out of this. For whatever reason, I think it was Geraldo that made the point that this kid was wearing a hoodie, so this George Zimmerman guy sees some guy in a hoodie and thinks he's a thug. So the hoodie got him killed, okay?
But Geraldo's a fucking nut job.
Right, and that's a load of shit that you're going to walk out, you know, depending on how you're dressed. You're going to walk out in your clothes or whatever, and you're going to be – and you could be, well, okay, it's a load of shit to be stereotyped based on the way you dress. However, it is also the way we operate in this society. It is the way we function. So if you have to have some personal responsibility. You have to have some awareness about how you look and what's going on out there. And to give you an example, if I walked out of my fucking apartment in a short skirt, pumps, makeup, and a wig, I should expect people to treat me like I'm a transvestite. I shouldn't be shitty when people treat me like a transvestite because, oh, how am I dressed? You know,
Jason,
do I walk out in a dress and go, when somebody goes, what's up with you, fag? If somebody says something like that to me, right? Do I go, you don't know me? You don't know what I'm about? How dare you treat me that way? No.
Jason,
if you go, what's that, dude? Yeah, I know. It's a funny image. That's right. What?
You two have ugly-ass tranny. Oh, shit.
Right,
dude.
I mean ugly. Yeah, I mean ugly tranny, yeah. So,
dude, man, here comes single, man. So Dude, why does it matter if the kid he was wearing baggy pants, a hoodie, or anything else walking in the neighborhood? Most days when I come out of school, I'm wearing baggy pants with a hoodie with scrawled upside down crosses on it.
Right.
And shit like that, but, dude, I'm
it
shouldn't walking
matter.
Here now.
It shouldn't matter, but it does. You can't tell me it doesn't matter.
No, I
it
know.
It shouldn't
I,
matter.
Yeah.
And this kid did not deserve to die because of the way he was dressed. But this leads to a larger point. We see this shit here in Austin. We've seen it twice in the last couple of years where people have been shot doing criminal shit, okay? They've been shot and killed. They have to be black young men. Well, but at the time, like, the criminal shit one kid was doing was sitting in the backseat of a car asleep. The criminal shit that this other kid was doing at the time was he was sitting in a car talking to his friend. Now, the cops had been, you know, seeing him do some other shit, all right? But, you know, it's just if you are engaged in that kind of lifestyle, what's the axiom? If you live by the sword, you die by the sword, okay? Well, if you idolize this fucking thug culture, if you idolize this kind of this thug behavior, this thug mentality, there's a possibility, especially in today's environment, when you know you've got cops out there who are trigger happy, you know you've got homeowners out there who are trigger happy, and now you got these fucking neighborhood watch douchebags that are trigger happy out there. It's raining bullets on, you know, thugs. So it might not be a good idea to be a thug. And I'm not saying that Trayvon Martin was a thug, but he may have been dressed to play the role on stage, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Okay. So anyways, the way I understand this breaks down, and again, nobody knows for sure what happened. You've got different witnesses saying different things. Of course, his girlfriend's on the phone with him. His girlfriend's account of what she overheard was Trayvon talking about how this George Zimmerman dude was following him. He didn't know the guy's name. This guy's following me, and he's talking on the phone. And Zimmerman is making a point of letting the guy know he's on the phone with the police, okay?
Yeah, I heard 911 tape myself.
Right, the girlfriend says, you need to run. So if she tells him that, there's some noise, and the phone goes dead. That's her account of what happened, all right?
And
as of tonight,
anyways, the thing is to where they've actually had neighbors come forward. One of them who was inside of his house, this was all going on directly in front of his house, in front of his yard. As this neighbor says it, this guy was yelling for help, and he had basically watched it all go down to where the guy had basically lost the kid. He had gone back to his car, small. You know, a not rent-a-cop does, exactly. And he was walking back to his car, and there Trayvon was behind him, asking, you know, why are you following me? And then it gets into a little scuffle, and the kid gets shot. And basically, Trayvon slammed this guy into his head to the pavement a number of times, broke his nose, apparently, and the guy shot. You know, in self-defense, hey, I think it was a clean kill. Whether he was black or not, shouldn't matter. It was a clean kill in my book.
Right. And that's the account that I understood from this George Zimmerman guy.
Yeah.
That he lost sight of the kid. He went to call the cops or went to do, you know, his thing. He'd been on the phone with them already, so he went to make sure because the cops are coming out to meet him. He went to go, you know, let them know where he was at and what was going on. So he goes to do that. Let's kill him off. Sorry. Anyways. He goes. He's doing all that. He gets jumped by Trayvon Martin. Okay. So we're talking about Trayvon Martin. This is according to the eyewitness accounts and Zimmerman's accounts, which may or may not be true. These are just what they said. But imagine you're a young black dude and you're walking through this neighborhood. It's an unfamiliar neighborhood. You're at your brother's. You're hanging out. You went to go get some tea and some Skittles to the local 7-Eleven. You're walking back. It's dark out and you don't know exactly where you're at. And some dude gets out of the car and starts following you, okay? That's creepy, man. And he's talking on his phone. He's talking on his phone about you, all right?
As a young black male.
You don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're a young black male. There are issues. There's social pressures on you, okay? He didn't respond the way I think I'd respond.
I would have gone back in front of the guy. I would have gone back in front of the guy if I was a black male. I would have taken off, cut a couple yards, and apparently hoped to be at my destination before, you know, the pipe was empty. Shit. You know?
See,
I would have gone back and confronted the guy.
My response would have just been to keep walking. Let this knucklehead, this nut talk on his cell phone and follow me wherever he wants to follow me. When I can't find my brother's house, when the squad car shows up and the cop wants to know where I'm going, what's going on, my brother's name is this, he lives in this residential area, I can't find him. If you can help me find my brother's house, that'd be awesome. Okay?
Yeah.
Not jump the dude that was following you. But I understand his response. You've got some – this guy, I mean, you could get angry about this. With all the racial profiling, all the other shit going on, you could get angry about this, especially if you're a douchebag, okay? Especially if you think you're going to right the wrongs of racism on your own tonight by beating the shit out of George Zimmerman, all right? So that's what I think went down. You've got one guy with a bad attitude who's the neighborhood watch patrol dude. You got another guy with a bad attitude walking through the neighborhood that isn't going to take some take shit from some dude. Okay?
Right.
So a fight ensues, and here's where you know the whole fight thing. When people talk about you shouldn't be killed. It shouldn't mean a death sentence jumping somebody. It shouldn't be a death sentence walking around dressed like a thug. It shouldn't be a death sentence walking in some strange neighborhood. You know, you're absolutely right. It shouldn't be a death sentence. But if my ass is on the ground, on my back, and I've got some kid on top of me, and I don't know if he's a kid or not, 17 years old, I got some dude on top of me, and he's beating the crap out of me. He's hit my head against the cement. He's busted my nose. He's busted my lip. And I've got a gun. And I've been yelling. If you listen to the 911 calls, I've been yelling for help, screaming for help. All right, and no help is coming. I think part of what happened there is George Zimmerman did the one douchebag thing, or did the one non-douchebag thing he did all night. He showed some restraint. He didn't whip that pistol out, and he didn't whip that pistol out immediately and shoot this kid. But if we're talking about self-defense, you don't know when this kid's going to stop hitting you. You don't know when he's going to stop, because you know what? If I've told people this. If I get into a fight with somebody, I'm not stopping until you stop breathing. Because
yeah.
I got bills to pay and I got kids to take care of. If it's my ass or your ass, we're going to go until you stop breathing. And so I'm confident that you can't get back up and go after me.
But, dude, here comes the issue, man. There's a huge size difference between these two. This is a skinny-ass black kid. This Mexican, half-Mexican, was a larger guy. This would be like me trying to kick your ass during winter months, okay? Dude, this guy could have probably gotten out of it. Probably a stream of it.
This
I think, dude,
this
I,
young,
part of me, part of
male,
me says,
you,
part of me says that this guy wanted to shoot the kid. In the end, he wanted to shoot the kid.
This kid in his football uniform online.
Yeah.
This young, athletic male jumps on you, gets the jump on you, takes you to the ground. He hits you in the back of your head hits the cement one way or the other. You're dazed. And I agree with you. You know, he had the revolver in his – he had the gun in his pocket because he wanted to use it. Okay,
yeah.
So I agree with that. All right?
It's still like me fighting you. There's a difference there. Big, big difference. It doesn't matter whether I'm muscular or not. He was a big guy. You're a big guy, you know?
Right, but we're not sumo wrestling. We're not sumo wrestling, though. If you are stronger, if you are faster, if you are more pumped and primed to fight, man, I might be out of breath taking my first swing at you. You don't know. I might be totally out of shape. This Zimmerman dude, seeing this picture of this guy, that guy's not a threat. You know, I mean, he's a big dude. I granted, but looking at him, man, that guy's out of shape. But your point, I concede your point. He's carrying the pistol around because he wants to use it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now, and I said he showed restraint. The one non-douchebag thing he did all night, he didn't whip the pistol out immediately and shoot the kid. He yelled for help, okay? And I heard there was some account by somebody saying that Zimmerman has been was crying for days afterwards nonstop.
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
Right.
Part of me,
you kill somebody,
part of wouldn't doubt
yeah.
it.
Right. Okay. So.
I mean, you killed a kid,
so
man. A kid who apparently was not a bad student. Maybe he had a few little issues like all kids that age do, and hey, the kid probably had a bright future ahead of him, man, you know? I feel pretty shitty, too, about that. I could deny it.
Well, yeah. Like I said, the issue here is not racism. two douchebags met that night. That's the way I see it.
One
guy
survived.
With a gun is a douchebag, and the other guy's a douchebag with an attitude problem. And it got
yep.
ugly. Okay?
Dude, question
now,
for you, man. Which black guy is it that always gets involved in anything black-related that kind of looks like Donald King?
Oh, fucking Al Sharpton.
Yes. Dude, you never, ever see Al Sharpton. You never see Jesse Jackson. Dude, what the hell do they do? All they do is they stand there behind the mother and father and be like, black power. That's all they do, man. That's their only job in society, is to basically keep it black.
Right. Right. Well, and it's, I mean, there's, and we're going to talk about that. Because, I mean, that's part of the issue that we see going on now, the media circus that has surrounded this whole thing. I mean, what's funny, you don't see Al Sharpton, you don't see Jesse Jackson, when some Jewish guy gets his rights pissed on, or some Mexican guy gets their rights pissed on, they're not there. They're not there to go, this is racism, this is bullshit. They are not an equal opportunity servant of the people. Okay, it's bullshit. They might as well, you know, step right in line with that fucking new Black Panther Party they got going on, which we'll be talking about that here in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, the call-in number, by the way, 347-989-1371. We don't really need you to call in tonight. I think Rodden and I can handle this shit. But if you
want
to call in,
want
give us your opinion.
Yeah, we don't want to call us to a racist, folks, so please call in. If we're going to hang ourselves here eventually, I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Call in, please.
Yeah. Let's talk about the real, one of the first real bad guys in this whole situation, the cops. Okay, the cops show up, they see a young black man dead on the ground, and they see this other dude. Given the situation as described by the 911 calls, as described by George Zimmerman, as described by neighbors who witnessed it and everything else, they're writing up the reports. Really, did they have anything to arrest Zimmerman on?
No,
I don't think so.
Dude, the reason the cops really arrested Zimmerman because they're like, oh, shit, we have another black kid dead. This means a lot of paperwork for us at the end of the night. We're going to have to do something about this. Oh, this is a fat Mexican sitting over here who apparently did it. Oh, okay, we'll take him in just because. That's because you're making my life shitty because I have to do paperwork tonight over this damn dead kid being dead. You know?
Right. Well, they didn't. They didn't arrest Zimmerman. They shouldn't have arrested Zimmerman. Maybe they should have taken him downtown to talk to him, to get his story, to have him sit and tell a story a few different times, to make sure
dude,
he tells the same
yeah.
story a few different times. Maybe they should have done
man,
that.
But I don't know if you've ever
right.
had to talk to cops anything serious, but dude, it's not just a talk. They're having you
right,
sit there
right.
for over 12 hours, man. No breaks. They're coming in every couple of hours asking you the same goddamn questions in
well,
multiple orders.
That's if they think you're a criminal. That's if they think they can break you, they can get you to confess. If you're just there providing an account, well, then and there's a point to it. My thing is, though, like they're talking about they didn't drug test him. They didn't test him for alcohol. Why the fuck would they test this guy for drugs or alcohol? He's the captain of the neighborhood watch. One of the things they talked about with Jordan. What's up?
Dude, man, who knows? Maybe the neighborhood watch guy's high on crack. Who knows? You know, maybe he sat home, had a couple of brews, smoked a little rock, and went and shot a kid. Who knows? I would test him for drugs and alcohol. Of course I would.
Why?
Why not? Standard procedure.
Well, see, I got a why not for you. This is the captain of the neighborhood watch. This is the guy
dude,
who went
should that
to
matter?
The police
why
training.
No.
It matters to
why?
The cops. Think about it as a cop. Think about it as a cop. You know this guy. He went to the training for the neighborhood watch thing. He's went through the certification for that firearm. You know who he is. They made a big deal about how he's made all these 911 calls over the last year or so, like, you know, hundreds of 911 calls. Well, no shit. He's the guy, captain of the neighborhood watch. Guess what he's supposed to do? If he sees something weird going on in his neighborhood, he's supposed to call 911. Okay? So it should be expected. Now, but I go, you know, my thing is, when do you ever hear about that happening anywhere else? Do you ever hear about, you know, some sort of shooting? My issue, we mentioned the gun earlier. My one point of contention with the way the cops really handled it was that weapon had been used to kill someone, shouldn't they have confiscated that weapon as evidence in a potential crime?
I agree. I have nothing to say with that. Cause I definitely agree with you. Because hell, if in any case, even take off the fact this was a neighborhood watch guy, a black kid. Well, dude, it could have been two. It could have been two white guys. One white guy and kind of a lesser authority, and just a standardized white guy. The gun would have been taken. He would have still been piss tested and his hair pulled, everything else, to see what he was on, as standard procedure dictates, which I'm kind of pissed they didn't do in this case, but that's just how I feel. But they should
have
come.
Is that standard procedure? Is it standard procedure to drug and piss test somebody?
But, dude, if it's a crime,
shooting in self defense. Is it a crime? Because they didn't see it as a crime. They saw it as shooting self defense. So somebody breaks into your home, you shoot them. If somebody breaks into your home, you shoot them. It's standard procedure to piss test them.
Dude, I don't see why the hell they didn't, though, really.
I understand what you're saying. That's fine. I don't see why it's a problem for this kid to be carrying around an empty bag of marijuana, but it is.
Neither do I,
If it's not standard procedure to piss test somebody in a self-defense case, well then, the cops didn't do their deal.
Why arrest him in the first place? Well, why are you holding him? Well, they didn't arrest him.
That's my point. They didn't arrest him. Why do you hold him? Because you are the main witness in the shooting. You're the shooter. You claim it's self-defense. You're the shooter. We need you to come down. We're not holding you. We need you to come down. We want you to talk to us about what went down tonight. We want to make sure we got your story. We're going to have you tell it to a few different people because we want to make sure you got your story.
Yeah.
So you ask him. You're not holding him. You're taking him in for questioning, basically. The same with the pistol. You take the pistol away because, hey, we want to make sure this is the weapon that was used to kill this kid. Okay, we want to make sure, what went down. Did the kid grab the pistol? That's another fucking theory I've heard thrown out there. That at some point the kid grabbed the pistol away from the dude, and in the struggle for the pistol may have gotten shot.
We know one thing though, man. We know the fact that this kid was shot at exceptionally close range.
Sure.
We're gonna talk,
sure.
And definitely not standing up. Because, I mean, dude, if I'm pulling a gun at you or you're holding a gun at me, one of us is going to back up just enough to where it doesn't look like it's exactly completely close range, which definitely buys into them being in a tussle at some point when the gun was pulled. That definitely,
right.
That definitely coincides with it, in my opinion, of course.
Right. Right. I agree. It wasn't an execution, okay? Neither of these two guys are evil. Neither of these two guys, you had an unfortunate crossing of paths, basically, between two dudes that, didn't have their heads right, as far as I'm concerned, based on what I'm hearing. And not that they were that fucking far off, Trayvon Martin was just living his life and didn't want somebody fucking with him for being black. And fucking George Zimmerman, he was just the neighborhood captain who wanted to be a cop and had a hard-on for law enforcement. And... a perfect fucking storm, if you will, and that's what went down from there. We'd also bring up
the fact, though. So you basically brought up a really good point that I'm gonna have to say basically discuss. We're gonna discuss basically
okay.
the fact that this kid was black. He didn't want someone messing with him. Okay, doesn't that kind of bring up this whole issue of black culture, of them feeling like they have a fucking chip on their shoulder just because they're black?
Right, and I didn't want to suggest, because I don't know Trayvon Martin's mind, okay? I'm taking a stab in the dark by saying that, as a white dude walking around, I don't want somebody fucking with me for being white. So I would assume that Trayvon Martin did not want somebody fucking with him for being black.
Well, dude, my point still stands then in that regard.
Right. I understand your point, and I agree. Because that's the talk that's been coming from the media. There's a lot of people, they've had... Shaka Khan was on television last night talking about how black men are targets. Okay, so you're bringing out every black celebrity that you can find, every black person who can.
These are not just black celebrities. These are left wing, out there black celebrities. These are the kind of people you may not want in your corner, ever.
Well,
you know.
Since, In case of point, the new Black Panther Party, and we're going to get into that. But yeah, I agree. Now, the cops, I don't think the cops did their due diligence. They didn't need to necessarily drug test him. They didn't need to necessarily piss test him or anything like that night. They should have taken the gun from him. They should have taken him in just to show that we are doing our due diligence. What they did, what they told the public that night was, oh, dead black guy, write it up, not a big deal. That's what they told the public that night. So that's where the cops are wrong. Now, to the media. the media, the way they handled this, I remember when the story first broke out. When the story first broke out, well, when you heard the story the first time, what was the image of George Zimmerman in your mind?
Oh, and basically a small, you know, lesser than a rent-a-cop shot apparently a black kid. Dude, I was expecting some fat-ass white guy.
Right. I expected some 50, 60-year-old, overweight, white dude, captain of the neighborhood watch. It was pretty much illustrated or portrayed as a white-on-black shooting. Okay.
Well, of course, dude, isn't that basically what the media wants? So, dude, they don't give a shit whether this guy is Latino. They want that, you know, that buzzword of, you know, this is a white-on-black crime. We have to crucify someone for this.
Right. Right, because how fucking rare is that? Basically, you know, the majority of these crimes are black on black. You got when it's a white guy shooting a black guy, that's huge, and that's, you know, it just shows the discrimination. It just shows that racism is still, you know, violent in the United States. It just shows how racist we are as a society that this is still going on. Okay. And some rapper, I don't remember the rapper's name, okay, some rapper's caught on a tweets a picture of himself with a picture, or tweets a picture of himself with a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt is a photo, a picture of George Zimmerman, and under the picture it says, punk ass cracker, okay? Has anybody taken a look at the picture of George Zimmerman? Has anybody seen George Zimmerman? Father's white, mother is Hispanic.
Yeah.
George Zimmerman. Not to say that looks necessarily determine race, okay, but they go a long way.
Yeah, we have
George Zimmerman looks Hispanic to me.
Yeah, we have a quote-unquote black president, yes, and he definitely looks like Hispanic. Sorry, I shouldn't say that S word. Sorry.
Right. Well, and here's the thing: if you're half black and half white, like our president, what part of it do you claim black?
But if he's not black like Colin Powell was black. No, no.
Okay. If you're half Japanese and half white, what are you? Japanese. If you are half, the white is the neutral part of your genetic background. The white is, unless you can establish, and unless most people, you know, that's the way, and it's the way people treat them. I mean, that's the way it's been in our society. That's the racist element right there in that particular part of the viewpoint. If you've got any mixed blood, you can't be white. You got to be something else. But these people,
dude, let me bring up one point, though. See, since this whole election started, when we had this, you know, biracial president, it was never that we had our first biracial president. Woo! No, we had our first
black president.
And that pisses me off. It does.
Right. Well, And here's a situation where for the media, it was, oh, we got this white guy. Oh, wait, his mom's Hispanic. Well, other time we talked, whenever we talked about a half white, half anything else, in any other way in society, we celebrated their ethnicity and ignored their whiteness. We've celebrated their minority status. So, do we celebrate this guy's minority status? No. You know what the next version of the story was? He's a white Hispanic.
Yeah, dude.
So
when they couldn't say
he was white.
No. This is like calling Obama a white African American. No, shit doesn't work.
Right. Well, what the hell is a white Hispanic? You know, what box do you check off on your little fucking – in California, Zach will tell you about this. In California, when you're filling out for a license or whatever, you know, whatever you do, you have to fill out the form. You have to, you know, verify whether – whatever your race is and whatever. Where's the white Hispanic box? You know, and what's the opposite of a white Hispanic box? Is there a black Hispanic box? No, I'm pretty sure those people are just black.
I don't get it. I do not. I can't even begin to fathom the whole idea at all.
Right, right. It makes no sense. And the media realized it made no sense. So the third wave of these stories that came through,
Hispanic
finally
male.
George Zimmerman was Hispanic. Okay?
Yeah.
But George Zimmerman being Hispanic doesn't work for the media, work for these special interest groups that lined up. I mean, they started swimming around the story like sharks, man, sharks in the water. So you have the media, they're still, the media still going on about, it just shows, they stopped pointing to Zimmerman as white, but it just shows how angry we are and how quick we are to pull the trigger on a black man. So they're not saying it's racism necessarily. They're saying it's racism, but the whole culture of the United States. Doesn't matter what you are, and if there's a black man involved, and there's going to be some violence, and the gun's in the wrong person's hand, well, the black man's getting shot. That's how the media is portraying this, and they're really spinning this. And then you see the fucking things with the hoodies. You know when the
who the hell is Geraldo Rivera to say anything? What was it back in the fuck? Had it been back in the 90s? He was so obsessed with this one mobster back in the day. I think this was in the 90s.
Al Capone.
Yes, he was obsessed with Al Capone's apparently treasure or loot, and he was all kinds of sure. Hey, it's in this place. They went to his place. Nothing there. You know. Then he basically lost all his credibility, went off the air, and now this, clown comes up whenever there's some kind of social issue. We saw him back, a few years ago for something or another. Basically something racially motivated, of course. Now he's got on that kind of bandwagon where it's always racial, and he basically spouts a whole bunch of lying bullshit.
Right, right. Well, they sent his ass to Iraq. It's what they ended up doing with him. They put him in the war zone, and that's how he tried to crawl his way back into validity.
But dude, putting Geraldo Rivera on in Iraq is kind of like saying, "Yo, we're gonna have this whole black squadron going first in front of the white guys." Dude, they just wanted Geraldo Rivera not to come back alive. And when he did, they're like, "Shit,
exactly,
that didn't work."
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it was about. It was, you Iraqi insurgents, you guys, if you're gonna be shooting at us, could you shoot this guy with the big mustache? Can you do us that favor? That'd be great.
And dude, so, does that mustache strike you as gay by any chance?
I don't make any judgments on facial hairs. So I don't know what's going on with Geraldo and his mustache. If he's Zorro now, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but anyways, yeah, he's got the big eye. He might be the guy from the Pringles can. Maybe that's what he's going for. I don't know. But anyways, the hoodie thing. Okay, so the media. If you're a news reporter, you're supposed to be objective. You're not supposed to make yourself part of the story. So here are the other people that are going out to support Trayvon Martin, okay? They're supporting this idea that a hoodie shouldn't be a reason for a death sentence.
Yeah,
they're
the ones who stood there on the court in black hoodies, head down, picture was taken, yeah.
Right, right. That's cool. A bunch of, a bunch of Trayvon Martin supporters, they put on their hoodies, they're out there, the Million Hoodie March or that ridiculous shit. They all put on their hoodies. Regular people, that's cool. You got these douchebag newscasters on the news wearing hoodies. What is up with that? So much for remaining objective, right? So much for not being part of the story. You self-indulgent pieces of shit.
I can definitely understand to where, the media saying the hoodie should not have condemned him, even saying Geraldo Rivera saying that the hoodie could not have condemned him. Even though I like Geraldo Rivera, I think he's a fucking asshole. But, of course, the hoodie should not have condemned him. Because, dude, I'll tell you, man, when I'm walking outside of school, I have a full beard with a full goatee. It's getting kind of long. I'm wearing a hoodie. I'm wearing baggy pants. That's generally all I wear is, baggy pants. I enjoy baggy pants every once in a while, I'm wearing a hoodie that generally isn't maybe kosher with societal norms, as we say. And I wouldn't want someone to basically say, hey, this kid's doing something he shouldn't be doing and try to shoot me. So in a way, I can understand
right.
that. Those
well,
whether I'm black or not, I can understand that,
Well, dude, I don't think anybody wants to be shot because of what they're wearing. But as I mentioned, you know, when we talked about that, you've got to be cognizant of it, that you're going to be judged based on the way you dress. My thing is that these media douchebags should be neutral on this, but, you know, they got to be part of the story. We actually got a caller. 803 area code. You're on the ooze. It's on your brain.
Hey, man. I heard earlier y'all basically talk how people get
to see. Hey, man. How's it going, Brandon?
Looking like thugs. What's up, man? You know, people walk around looking like thugs and get themselves shot sometimes. I mean, I was raised in South Florida. I've seen a lot of that. The problem I have isn't so much it's the people that get shot walking around looking like thugs that are thugs. It's the people who are innocent that walk around looking like thugs sometimes, because sometimes you have these people who are well-dressed, clean-cut, who really are thugs walking around, but they look good to society, doesn't do anything about them.
Right, right.
I agree.
And I understand that. I think, you know, that's a lesson learned, in my opinion. If, you know, if dressing a certain way is going to keep you alive, okay, yes, it's bullshit. Yes, it's fucked up that we stereotype based on our appearance. It's, you know, part of the racist thing, part of the prejudice thing. Skin color shouldn't matter. What you're wearing shouldn't matter. But the fact of the matter is that in today's day and age in the United States, it does. People do judge a book by its cover. So how you present yourself to the world, you should be cognizant of that shit. And if my thing was, you know, if they said, if you're not wearing a fucking pink tutu out, there's a chance you're going to get shot today, I'm getting a fucking pink tutu, and I'm wearing the goddamn thing out because I like getting home alive, all right? So I see your point. It's bullshit that these thugs dress in suits and everything else and get away with whatever the fuck they get away with, and basically us poor people who have no choice but to go to fucking Walmart and get the thug gear because that's what's popular, that's what sells right now, there's a chance we can get shot for the way we look. You still have to take some responsibility. What are you putting out to the world when you dress up in that way? I'm not saying you're totally responsible, but I'm just saying that you can't, like I said, if I put on a dress, I can't be blameless in the way people are going to react to me.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. The only reason I bring that up is actually I actually have a similar problem going on. It was funny, I was listening to y'all talk about police procedure and everything earlier. You know, it's funny,
okay.
Like, I have a moderate beard and moderate long hair. Rotten could actually prescribe perfectly. I was like, he's actually seen what I look like before. And the kid I'm actually having a problem with, he's actually giving me some shit. He's clean cut, business kid, comes from money, whole nine yards. I'm talking like, his baby pictures are even, like, professionally taken and stuff. And I tried to get cops to actually investigate the problem. My home was broken into, and I had the ever-loving hell kicked out of me in my own home. And the police wouldn't even take pictures of my wounds, so I had to be lying because someone like that couldn't be involved.
Yep.
Because he has, like, he's an upstanding citizen in his community.
And, Jason, man, this dude is a buddy of mine. This dude, of course, is going to be, you know, hanging out with in all of July and probably moving down there in July. He basically has three holes, one in his shoulder, one in his bicep, and one in his lower calf. The other one was a higher caliber gun. And the guy came up to him afterwards and took a knife into it and ripped it apart. Yeah.
Jeez.
And this dude is not black. He is white. He has long hair.
Mm-hmm.
He dresses in perhaps darker clothing, baggier pants, like I do.
Okay. What you're saying is that it was the way you were dressed, or the way you looked, that made you a target.
Well, no, I've become a target for a different reason, but I've become a target by the police to not investigate the case because of what I look like and my mom's record that she had before with the police department before she died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the police basically said that I was out of my mind and that I had to be doing something like this to myself, although I have, like, no history of any type of self-hurt, injury, anything like that. And, like, I had no weapons in my house of the caliber of the weapon that I was shot with.
Well, and like I'm saying, I know it's bullshit to judge a book by its cover. We're all told that. Don't judge a book by its cover. But It's the way things go down. You walk around the world looking at things and making judgments based on what you see. There's a story here locally about this old man walking his granddaughter home from school on a daily basis. Walking home with his granddaughter every day from school in the afternoon. He's an old man. He's in his like 60s or 70s. He's walking his granddaughter home from school. He's white. She's black. So every time he's seen walking down the road with his kid's hand in his hand, there are several times he gets stopped by the cops because he's white, she's black, and there's a concern there, okay? You think they would figure it out after the first or second time that, okay, everything's cool, there's nothing going on here, but they still stop him. It's fucked up, but it's the way we operate. It's the way it works in our society.
Here's the thing, though, man. See, when I was a kid, I'm sure both of us, the three of us, when we were kids, it was color was the issue. We didn't associate with those of color. We didn't associate with anyone else of our own race growing up. We were raised with that mentality not to associate. And then looking at my sister, who's, she's 12, 13 now, and she's being bombarded with all these messages of color is not the issue. Color is no longer an issue. She has black mm-hmm. friends. She has Mexican friends. She gets quite well along with everyone. But, dude, I'm sorry, man. Maybe it's just my upbringing that says, maybe she should have the same upbringing I did. Maybe she should be prejudiced. Maybe they'll save her ass in the end one day, That's my opinion, though. I'm an asshole. I'm apparently a racist. I don't know,
So, I understand what you're saying. I've always found it fascinating. Even when I was a kid, we were taught, I went to, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I went to schools where – I went to schools in the city, and I went to schools out in the rural area, and we were always taught that, hey, race is not an issue. You're to be colorblind. You're to be color neutral. You are no better than anybody else based on the color of your skin. It's all about you.
The school could have pushed that all they wanted. The minute you went home, it was like, damn niggers, what the fuck's going on with the country, goddamn,
No, I bought into it, man. I totally bought into it, along with all my friends and everything else. We totally ate that up, that we're all equal. We're all, we love each other, we care about each other, we're all human beings, and it's all good. That's what we were told. What I found weird was that the Hispanic kids and the black kids were being told to be proud of who they are. Be proud of their heritage. Be proud of their ethnicity.
The white guys can't be proud that we are white because that makes us kind of racist. Yeah, dude, El Sharpton and Jesse Jackson be all over that shit, dude. See, man, we can't have, a white broadcast network. No, we have to deal with BTN, the Black Television Network. Dude, if we did that, we would be so-called racist. There's no way around it.
Right. And that's the nature of our society right now. And you've got white people getting angry about it, which is why this George Zimmerman thing, it had to be white on black. Because they wanted to show the white anger in Western society. They wanted to show white anger in the United States. They didn't want it to be, just a non-issue. They wanted to make sure that there was a white guy to blame for this, and it wasn't there. And they wrestled with it, white to white Hispanic to Hispanic, make up your fucking mind. And if George Zimmerman's white, well, then so is Barack Obama. Right, because, if being half white makes you white, all these Tiger Woods, all these different people that are, of mixed heritage, you're white if you do something stupid, okay? I guess that's what they're saying, okay? The stupid part of your genetic makeup comes from being white.
Okay, here's the actual comment of the night. Even though I'm sure I've made quite a few, and probably quite a few racist ones, which I'm not going to take back. But okay, here comes the thing of. man. Why don't we just say, everyone's white? Doesn't matter whether you're black, Hispanic, or not. Just sign a little paper saying you are no longer this, and saying you're white. Problem solved. Give up your heritage just to claim you're white. Why not,
Well, I'm of the mind. Just make everybody, you're officially white. All of you are officially white, whatever. Or whatever,
right?
Fuck it. You want to say that I'm black, when I'm making me officially black, fine. I'll be black, whatever. Just as long as we get past it. As long as we get over it.
That's a completely racist comment. I know it is, but I just don't care.
Well, and here's my thing. It seems to me when I walk around, when I talk to the average people on the street, doesn't matter, you know, what color they are, where they come from, whatever, they don't give a shit for the most part. They don't give a shit, you're white or black or whatever. It doesn't matter to them. Just as long as you don't give them a hard time, just as long as you aren't in their face with your bullshit. It's racism cuts both ways. I posted a picture. There's a link there in the chat room. A little picture I put together that shows the new Black Panther Party at a news conference for this
gentleman thing. One second, brother.
Well, when they were talking about the $10,000 bounty, which according to Rotten. He's heard it's up to $1 million. George Zimmerman is in hiding. And this is what I think is funny about the new Black Panther Party putting a bounty on George Zimmerman. They want this vigilante, the guy who committed the crime of vigilante justice. They want him brought to justice. They want him brought in as a criminal. And the way they want to make it happen is with the vigilante mob. Okay?
Dude, can you find our link besides Facebook, please?
Do I have another link besides Facebook? Well, this picture, I only have it posted in Facebook.
Oh, could you possibly post somewhere else, man? I'm not a Facebook user. I will never have Facebook until I'm possibly, you know, held at gunpoint and made to get one. I'm not going to have Facebook.
Well, let me describe the picture to you since you don't have Facebook and I don't know where else to put. Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe I could post it on Sin. Let me see here.
Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, do that then. That'll be good.
Okay, I'll get around to that. Let's see. How much time do we have left? 3 minutes.
We're going to stretch this to another hour, maybe 2 more hours. Just shut up. We're okay.
Well, we can't stretch this for another 2 hours, but we can put another hour on it, and we might go another hour. We might not. But let's see. We'll just tack the extra time on here. So if you want to call in, the phone number is 347-989-1371. We want to hear your thoughts on racism, Trayvon Martin, the media manipulation of the people, the whole way this thing's been spun. All right, so I bumped it up to 120. Let me update. So we might not go another full hour, but
I'm pretty sure we're going to, man. No, we're definitely with this topic. We're going at least another hour, maybe even going to the next week. There's no way around that, dude.
Okay.
No way.
All right, so. So we talked about media, okay, the media putting the spin on, the media involving themselves in the story, the media wanting this to be white on black when it's not, okay? We mentioned the new Black Panthers have gotten involved. You mentioned Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Go ahead, dude.
Okay, this Black Panther Party, this new age Black Panther Party, how do they differ from the old one? The old one was, you know, black power. These ones more perhaps militant in this day and age, or what exactly are we looking at here?
From what I understand, the original Black Panther Party was, they purported to be nonviolent.
Even though there were certain issues. Yeah.
Right. They had sect within the group that was violent, but they were nonviolent. They had, you know, they believed in Marxism and there was something else they believed in, and it was, but basically, you know, they were the 60s, 70s radical type thing. So hippie black dudes, basically, for the defense of black people. All right. So,
and you know, man,
looking back then,
man, who better to basically become the martyr of that movement besides Malcolm X? Malcolm X was a black man, a very intelligent black man, in glasses and a suit. That's how he always went to any of his rallies. He dressed considerably well. Who better to have as the, you know, the poster child for the movement than him, really?
Was he the poster child for the Black Panther Party? Because he was a member of the Nation of Islam.
In my opinion, he basically was the coalescence of the whole movement, in my opinion.
They rallied around his image. I would agree with that. But the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam had issues. And this is where this distinction comes in with the new Black Panther Party. Because the new Black Panther Party was started by members of the Nation of Islam. The Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party, had kind of become defunct. that the people that were originally part of it, they weren't as engaged in activism as they once were. So there was some issue, I don't know if it was, I think it was in Texas, actually, in Houston. There was some issue where this guy, some dude gets involved. He's a member of the Nation of Islam. He gets involved. He's trying to defend or, you know, this person or what have you. He goes up north because for whatever reason he has to go up north, and he ends up listening to or reading about some guy up north. And you can look on Wikipedia, and the story's a little bit more involved. I read it today, but I didn't put any notes down. He decides based on this guy's experience and the story this guy told and everything else, that and the guy he was listening to was actually a news broadcaster up north. Not a news broadcaster, but a radio guy, radio talk show guy up north. So he decides to start the New Black Panther Party. The New Black Panther Party has more ties with the Nation of Islam. They don't believe in Marxism. They're very militant, and they've been named as a radical racist organization. They would like to see the Jews and the whites. They would like harm done to these folks. When this bounty was originally posted by the New Black Panther Party, it was just they want him brought in. If I remember it being how it was put, you know, they didn't by hook or crook, basically. It's like, you know, this guy, if justice will not be served by the society, then we're going to bring this man to justice. They've since changed their tune and said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and we want a citizen's arrest. So he's brought to the authorities. Now, my thing is.
Citizen's arrest in general population?
Well, if the cops wanted this guy brought in, they'd have him already. He's in hiding. More than likely, the cops know exactly where he's at. Okay? They didn't find, despite their saying, you know, we didn't handle the investigation as thoroughly as we could. We didn't do our due diligence. We dropped the ball on this, and it looks bad. They still don't have enough evidence. They had some attorney come out and sit there and say, you know, we should persecute this George Zimmerman dude for manslaughter. And the district attorney said, what's your evidence? He said self-defense. We've got the 911 calls. We've got eyewitness reports. We got nothing to counter the self-defense thing. And that's important in Florida because they have this stand-your-own-ground law, okay?
Dude, we actually
stand-your-own-ground law. Go ahead, dude.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, in Florida, that's called the Make My Day law. Is for any, you know, purpose. We're actually having that being brought up here, actually. Okay, and we definitely have some black-on-black violence going on up here, man. We have for a lot of years. It's every day, man, a black kid dad, a black dude dad, another convenience store clerk dad. You know, it's a normal, you know, everyday thing up here, man. And I can only fathom, it makes me laugh hysterically, but to fathom this law gets passed, the amount of blood that's going to be running in the streets kind of makes me laugh. Hey, I enjoy a little bit of chaos, and I definitely am going to enjoy this to watch, personally. We have the same law coming up here. It was brought before the system up here today, actually, that this law is going to be passed. And it's a very high chance of being passed.
Right, and the way this thing works is that with this Stand Your Ground law or the Make My Day law, you have to, the onus of proving that you were not acting in self-defense is on the state.
Yeah, you basically can simply say that this dude was threatening me. I pulled a gun. I felt my life was in danger, and I killed the guy.
Right.
That's all you have
to say. Prove that I didn't. Right.
Yeah.
Prove that I didn't. Exactly.
Yep.
So that's what we're running into with this guy. There's more evidence to support that he was acting in self-defense than suggests otherwise. As a matter of fact, there is no evidence to the contrary.
Well, dude, the only bit of evidence that is could possibly even say otherwise is sitting on a cold slab in the morgue, man. There's no one else to really say otherwise. It's
basically
a few 911 calls, a few white people in the neighborhood who apparently heard something, you know?
Right. Right. And the argument's going to be made there is extenuating circumstances. You know, this guy antagonized Tavon Martin. Okay, this guy followed him for no reason.
That is very possible. The fact that this guy wasn't being
–
but still, man, the fact is that this guy was not being even remotely secretive. The fact that, hey, I'm on the phone with the cops. I'm still going to follow you. I'm sorry, man. If I was black and some dude was following me on the phone saying, I'm on the phone with the cops, I'm going to have something happen to you, you know, that I would definitely do something. I don't know as to what per se, sir, I'm not black, but certain ramifications would have to happen in that particular situation. I'm sorry,
yeah, I just
don't how
see,
has to be.
I just don't see becoming confrontational about some douchebag following me with his phone talking to the police. Let
but
the
dude,
cops
that would
come.
Definitely,
you know, every time,
I don't know.
Every time I walk out of Walmart, dude, every time I walk out of Walmart or some fucking, you know, big box store or some tech store, you know, Best Buy, wherever, every time I walk out, you know, I've got fucking tattoos. I can be kind of scuzzy looking and everything else. And I walk out with, you know, a couple $100 worth of whatever. I'm hoping for that fucking security dude to stop me. I'm hoping. You know, I'm waiting for it. My girlfriend cringes every time we walk past one of those security people.
Oh, really?
Right, because it's going to be, can I go through your bags? No.
You know, man, where I'm at, though, dude, it's not so much the blacks. I'm definitely in, you know, a small town. I'm in basically a smaller town than T.C., okay?
Sure,
to put that in
okay.
To put that in perspective, okay? I mean, we have one town over from us, and we have Walmart in this town. And it was last semester of college, would have been probably October, November, you know, somewhere in there. I actually mentioned this to you back in the day on the show. We were talking about I think it was racism, actually, or something to that effect. And a Honduran basically stabbed a woman and stole her car. This was the first major crime done in this particular area by a illegal alien, as you were.
Okay.
And basically, man, what it boils down to is the fact that where I'm at, I ain't got to worry about the blacks. You know, they're basically sitting back selling their crack, which I know might sound prejudiced, but to be dreadfully honest, it's actually quite accurate where I'm at. Most of the black people around here who are my age, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, are selling drugs. That's not a fabrication. That's truth. And now here we have these illegals coming up here around my neck of the woods. A lot of them are illegal, and they are committing crimes as well. There was a huge stink about the illegal immigrants here for a while. Also, there was a murder.
Right.
There was a murder of a 15, 16-year-old girl in the same town a few months prior. The boyfriend of the girl, of the sister, rather, was illegal. He raped and murdered his girlfriend's sister and dumped her in an orchard, not far from where I live, actually. Lately, it's been more of these illegals, more of these Mexicans, or let's say Central American, you know, types, whether it be Mexico, whether it be a little further south. That's been the issue here. It's not been black. It's been these illegals. And there's definitely been a bit of a crackdown since then on the illegal immigrants as well in my area, or my more centralized area within, you know, a few counties around me, basically.
Well, when you drop people from a different culture into an alien environment where they don't speak the language, they don't know the norms, there's going to be some shit going on. I wanted to stop you for a second. We got a couple of callers online. Let me 347 area code. You're on the use. It's on your brain.
Hey guys, what's up? All right, so I've been listening like really, really intensely. All right, you know, point blank, you know, the kid, the neighborhood watch kid. Like you were saying before, you know, he was
a kid, man. This was basically a step to rent a cop. This was a grown-ass man. Let's get it
yeah.
right, okay?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, 28 years old.
Even better. Even better, because the guy, you know, he was certified to obviously be a neighborhood watch. He was certified
yeah.
to have a gun, you know. And the thing is, like, when you're going through these classes, you know, you're supposed to know that, you know, the police are, you know, head honcho. So if the
yeah,
police
right.
tell you, listen, don't do something, you fucking don't do it.
Exactly,
like
man.
Cut,
see, here's,
cut,
yes.
cut and fucking stone. Whether you're black, white, green, blue, fucking glowing in the dark, you don't
right?
do something. You don't
and,
do something.
Right, right. And, we made that point that Zimmerman violated the bylaws in the neighborhood watch. He went against what the
yes.
police said, that he's a douchebag who had a hard-on for law enforcement. He's a wannabe cop that was overzealous that night. He shouldn't have done what he did.
See,
and that
hardly
anticipated the whole situation.
You know, Jason,
but
man,
Trayvon Martin didn't have to jump the guy either.
Right, but in the same time.
Dude, can I talk
real
quick, man?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry, man. I don't mean to cut you off. I really don't. But, Jason, man, part of me actually wonders if this guy actually did try to be a cop, but he couldn't pass the psych evaluation. Part of me wonders if he could not pass a certain bit of the evaluation to actually become a real cop, and this is why he became this, you know, quote-unquote neighborhood cop, as it were. I'm just putting it out
there. Right. And I have a feeling that that's the case. Based on what I've read, I have a feeling that the guy failed getting the police academy for one reason or another, which I saw those movies. I thought it would be easy to get there. It'd be fun. But, yeah, he failed police academy or something. Something happened, so this is as far as he could go. Okay, so, caller, what else did you want to say, man?
It was just that my point. I mean, you know, he obviously failed, and, like, for the cops to not actually do something about it, as far as, like, not even, like, questioning, you know, a guy like this, he shouldn't, like, you know, even with his mental background, you know, he shouldn't even be allowed to even own a gun.
No, Carl.
Okay, well, here's the thing about that real quick, okay? He went through the training class for this neighborhood watch thing. He knew the police officers he was dealing with, more than likely. They knew who he was.
Right.
He was a regular caller to 911. He was doing his job, this neighborhood watch thing. He went through the gun certification. They knew who George Zimmerman was. So when they showed up, they questioned him, okay? There's other shit they're asking them to do, drug test him, piss test him, all that other
stuff.
Dude,
I think they should have.
That doesn't make any sense. They, maybe they should have, but that's not standard procedure. They should have taken the weapon from him because that is evidence in a potential crime, and they should have taken him from the scene and questioned him a little bit more thoroughly about what happened, because that's how these cops in Florida have their balls in a trap right now, is there's a lot of questions being asked, and the cops can't show where they did their due diligence. Other than that, they had no reason to do anything more with this guy.
I'm sorry, man, but it was a black kid dad, dude. What more due diligence do you need? It was a quote-unquote white Hispanic black kid dad. What more? Dude, that's just a simple bit of paperwork, a couple of pages. Dude, what more do you need than that? I'm sorry.
He being a black white guy, you know, instead of he being a young black male, how about you look at it, dude, no, man.
I have no problem saying this kid was black. Other dude was a Hispanic. No questions about it, man. But honestly, man, a cop doesn't really want to do their work. Black kid being dead. I'm sorry.
You're absolutely right. I'm just saying,
I think, to be honest, maybe I'm naive, but if George Zimmerman was a black male, 20 years old, didn't get into the police academy, captain the neighborhood watch, got himself a gun, did the neighborhood watch thing, called 911, diligent about watching his neighborhood.
Yeah, he would be suspect number one. He would be put on the cross. No joke, he would be. Of course he would.
I tend to lean that, like I said, maybe I'm naive, but I tend to lean to these police not doing shit about it. You shot a white kid. A thug.
No, dude, no. But see, no, you can't even say that concerning the fact the original example was black on black. A 20-year-old black guy. Dude, see, simply a black shooting. But see, that doesn't have any kind of racial stance to it.
Imagine this. George Zimmerman was black. The victim was white. If that were the situation, fucking Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton they would be there. They would be there in Florida going out of their minds because George Zimmerman's being persecuted for doing his duty and protecting his neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They would flip this totally around. They would be all about it. It all has to do with the color of the skin. The racist, when they're screaming racism, usually that person screaming racism, he's the racist.
I'm sorry, man. Part of me wants to say bullshit. Part of me wants to, you know, still wear, you know, my rose-colored glasses and go and be like that. I really do. I really do, and I hate you so much for trying to rip those glasses from me, you know? But, fuck.
Listen, I got, here in New York, here in New York, we
Wait,
have, like,
is this Hobbs or is this, who is this man? Ask. Dude, I'm in New York, too, man. I'm in the, you know, same, well, not, you're not, what, you're in, you know, what, New York City?
All right. Yeah, no. I'm in Long Island right now. Okay, so then you should know what's going on about this. Okay, do you know about the fireman's test?
Buddy, you know, man, I'm sitting up here in Western New York, man. I'm sitting here in between Buffalo and Rochester, so elaborate, all explain.
Right. In New York City, you know, the fireman's test is open up for, you know, everybody to come over because they need new firemen.
Well,
okay.
Shit, 9/11, of course you do.
What end up happening is that I'm not racist or anything. I'm just saying, you know, what happens is that the black community is up in arms because
dare say you're going to call affirmative action. This is what it was. They hired more blacks or Mexicans versus the white men.
No,
please,
but
don't
they
claim.
That's the whole controversy is that
really?
in the fire department, okay, the black community, okay, is throwing up arms because their African American community cannot pass the test. And they asked the African American community, what is wrong with the test that makes this so discriminatory?
Dude,
okay.
It's not discriminatory. Simple fact, you have to have a certain level of intelligence to pass the test.
Exactly,
if black,
and that's what they're
black,
jumping on.
But, dude, if black dude can't pass the test, well, fuck, a black dude can't pass the test.
They're jumping on, which is the whole thing about this whole black activist thing, okay, that's getting blown way out of proportion.
See, Hobbs,
you know?
Man, you might not be able to spell for shit. Let's be honest, you might not be able to spell for shit, but, dude, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick, but, you know.
I
think this whole affirmative action thing was a complete and utter load of bullshit. Especially with schools, man. Especially with the colleges. They have to hire, they have to basically bring out a certain amount of, whether it be black, Hispanic, Mexican, or whether it be, you know, Chinese, a foreigner from Oriental. They have to have a certain number to be able to get their cash from the government saying, hey, you know, we're up to code, give us our cash. Okay. But see, if a black kid or a black man or a Hispanic or a Jew, I don't give a shit, if it's a Chinese or if it's a Japanese kid, can't pass the entrance exam. They should not be in. And that should go for any walk of life. If a white guy can pass the entrance exam, a black guy can't, well, guess what? Black guy, get to walk and go back to school, learn a little bit more, you know? That's my opinion,
exactly. The exact same situation you were describing in New York with the fire department was going on here in Austin, Texas. And the issue was they couldn't get enough Hispanic people or black people to pass the test to meet that quota that matches the population here in our city. They want to make sure that the demographic in the fire department matches the demographic they have in the entire city.
But my thing is, do
you give a shit? Do you give a goddamn? The guy that's coming to fucking put out the fire, to put your house out if it's burning, do you give a shit what color he is? Or do you just care that he knows which direction to point the hose? You just want to make sure he knows where to point the hose.
Who's the smartest? Exactly. You know, who am I gonna put? You know, who am I gonna stand next to in the middle of a fucking blaze? But like,
see,
you know,
this is a little
and,
back to
and,
cold,
and the thing is,
Hobbs,
dude, like,
man, Hobbs. Shh. One second, man. Let me bring this up real quick, okay, man? This
okay.
also goes back to a cultural issue as well within whether it be black or Hispanic. That generally, dude, I'm in college and these black kids are my teacher, man. In the middle of class, she called, you know, the security guards on campus, you know, the fives, and the people who don't show up to class, especially those of the black persuasion, the 2.5s, meaning they don't do shit. The fives don't do shit, 2.5 sure as hell don't do shit. She basically said this in the middle of class, okay? And basically, man, what I see is these black kids, or Hispanics, I'm not trying to be a racist, they don't put in the time. They don't actually put in the time to actually learn anything. They're simply there to show up and do what they have to do and hopefully get a C. But, dude, they're not learning anything, man. And this goes back to the whole cultural issue within these races. And I'll even admit that some of it is societal as well. That we as the white man, shit, talking black, I'm sorry, but the white persuasion does not apparently, I'm putting in quotation marks, want the black or Hispanic to actually get anything. That's basically what that issue comes down to, is that we do not apparently teach the blacks and Hispanics enough, even though they're sitting in the same classroom with all the white people, we are apparently not giving them the right education to have them succeed in life. Yeah, bullshit, stroke your deck, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, these guys, you know, it has nothing like, Okay. It has nothing to do with, like, you know, your racial thing. I mean, the kids will, like in your college, the kids will fail because they're not learning anything, yet they go around screaming racism, racism, racism.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
And so they get passed. Well, and so they get passed, okay? You know, and guys like you, who I presume, you know, are completely, you know, white and of European descent,
dude, I'm happily white. I'm glad
okay.
that I'm not black or Mexican.
I really am. Okay, but the problem is, okay, there's also a second foot to this. Because when you go for a job interview, okay, you will have higher qualifications, okay, in just the interview process alone. If you
yes.
and one of these so-called people that you're turning around and saying, okay, they're getting a free ride, and obviously
yeah.
they're not learning anything, okay, when you actually go for the interview, okay, you will actually appear, okay, or not even appear, you will definitely know a lot more than the same guy who was in your class, that actually got the free ride. And that's where it is, my friend.
Here comes also the issue, man, is that in today's society, jobs have to hire people of different minorities. They have to hire the black, they have to hire the Mexican, Hispanic, whatever the fuck you want to call them, I don't give a shit. But they have to hire these people, man, dude. They have to hire people. Dude, let's say I went in right now into a job with my qualifications in web design. Because I'm decent, okay, but let's say I went in right now, and a black kid was sitting next to me. They were not as good, but the company had to meet their quota for their black employees. Well, guess what? I'm getting the shaft because they needed to fill a fucking quota. I'm sorry, man, but at the end of the day, what basically, in my opinion, what boils down to is that it shouldn't matter whether you're black or white. If a white guy can do a job better than a black guy, hire the white guy. In the same instance, a black or a Chinese or a Mexican can do a job better than a white guy, hire them. No qualms, no quarrels, but make sure it's on the merit of what they can do in your company and for the job they're being hired for.
Oh yeah,
it should not be about affirmative action or quotas. It should be about what you can do for the company and that job. You know,
right? And that's my whole point. You know, where the black guy would, let's just say in your situation, okay, whatever, where they have to fill a quota. Maybe that quote-unquote black guy who has to get hired, okay, won't get hired before you, okay, or maybe he will.
But nine times out of ten,
they will. Hold on, Rotten. But he may not get the good job that you're getting. Do you see what I'm saying here? Like, companies know about this kind of shit, bro. You know,
nine times out of ten, still in today's society, they would rather hire a minority than a white guy, even if the white guy has more qualifications. In today's society, because they now appear racist, and this even became more prevalent since we elected a quote-unquote black president, this whole idea of we can't appear racist became so much more prevalent in society that is absolutely laughable. But it is what we're dealing with now. That's a simple fact.
Dude, I have to disagree.
You can disagree all you want.
Because I straight up, okay, we have minorities in my company, okay, pest control. Hold on here. Okay. We have minorities. But, okay, the person, myself, okay, who is an entomologist, is way more qualified than these guys. And me,
okay,
being an entomologist, okay, have a higher position, and on top of it, I get a higher pay scale.
Okay,
yes,
question for you, though,
the other guys will get hired, okay, to do something, but they won't get to what a person is more qualified to do.
Okay, question for you, man. Are you in your company, the people who go out to do the extermination, I know that's what you do, you've mentioned it before, so we're just going to say that you are an exterminator. You are a overqualified exterminator. Not being a dick, but that's what you are. But I'm sorry, you're an overqualified exterminator. Just leaving it at that, okay?
Entomologist.
But, no. Exterminator, shut up. Okay. But
no, entomologist. I'm sorry, Rotten, but I wasn't cool for it.
whatever, man. You are still an extremist at the end of the day,
okay.
As we know. Okay. That's what your job is, what you do. How many of you are white versus black versus, fuck, Mexican, Chinese? How many of you are white in your company right now?
Well, right now there would be two.
Okay, versus how many other ones?
Black, two.
So there's two blacks, two whites, two whatouts.
That's it. And one Chinese dude who happens to be the actual general manager of the company. So it's completely diverse.
But dude, in a larger scale, it would not be diverse. It would be that there are, okay, in some companies, I'll even say fine, there are probably more white people. There are lesser blacks, lesser, you know, Spics, you know, there are lesser Chinese people, lesser even Indians, speaking of Indian from India. There are lesser of those, but more often than not, man, and if you're speaking from the microcosmic ideologies, it is a complete and utter skew that there are going to be more of these quote-unquote minorities, even though blacks are certainly catching up with the whites quite fast, but there are these more minorities being hired over whites.
Okay, dude. When it comes to that, dude, I have to disagree, bro. I do.
Wait a second. Hobbs is right in saying that more whites are hired at a higher rate, at a higher number than minorities.
I'm not agreeing with that.
Okay. But what you're saying about affirmative action, I wanted to make this point to Hobbs. When it does work, it's a wonderful thing. People that would not normally be given certain opportunities are given an opportunity to excel based on their skills, based on their ability to excel, and they get to positions in companies where, you know, they find their own level. The problem is that when you have a system put in place where it doesn't matter how good you are at doing your job as long as you're a certain skin color, you get a pass through school. So if you have some kid sitting beside Rotten who's just showing his ass and doing whatever the fuck he wants to do, he gets a pass. It makes it harder for Rotten to learn through school.
Let me finish.
He gets into college, and money that could have been used to help Rotten pay for his classes are going to some kid that doesn't even care if he's in class.
And then when he gets to the workplace,
when he gets to the market, when he gets to the job market, Rotten's sitting there by this guy who, because the job has to have them there to meet their quota, they don't care what kind of job this does, which means Rotten has to pick up the slack that this guy's leaving behind. So it doesn't matter what color the guy is. If you've got a system where somebody gets a pass, it hurts everybody else.
Jason, man,
yeah.
Dude, I'm not going to be a racist. Well, I'm going to be a racist, man. I don't care. Dude, we have these three shit. I'm just going to put it out there. We have these three niggers, okay? In my class.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
All right, man. That's going further than we should have gone.
Come on.
We have three guys who are in my business 101 class, first class of my particular day. None of them show up on time. They don't show up until 3/4 through the class. The teacher basically says, "Hey, okay." She writes it up as they were there, and that's all it goes down to. It doesn't matter whether or not they were participating or not. And for fuck's sakes, man, I was stuck with those three for a business report I had to do, a presentation. These motherfuckers basically based globalism on basketball. I'm sorry, man, but how much more black can you get by basing globalism on fucking basketball?
Yeah, but Rotten.
But you can hold the.
I'm sorry, Jason. You know.
Go ahead, dude.
Rotten,
go ahead.
Rotten, dude. I understand where you're coming from, bro. Okay, I really do. Okay, and yeah, okay, it is in the world around us. I understand that. But dude, like, as a professional, you know what is right and what is wrong when it comes to your career. Okay, you know how to do something, you know, and you don't think, okay, that bringing that to a table will get you a higher percentage, even though they have to meet a quota, okay? Even though they have to meet a quota, you don't think that that will excel, you know, longer. And on top of it, dude, the way this sounds like to me, okay, is that, like, you're pointing fingers and blaming, okay?
No,
I'm not doing
no.
Wait. I'm not getting this because of this. I'm not getting that because of that. I'm not going to get the best job because this black guy or this whatever has to meet a quota and everything
like
that. But,
dude, you're seeing it more and more.
Bro, in my life, my whole career, bro, has been built on hard work and sweat, okay? And, you know, in all honesty, dude, okay, that whole fucking racist shit, dude, is honestly going to be in the fucking past. Because, for one, this is a fucking Western civilized world, bro. The white, the black, the Chinese, whatever, bro, we're on our way out anyway. Everybody's going to be mixed with fucking something in the next fucking 50 fucking years. Hold on.
I hate it.
You will, dude. In this world, bro, it is not your fucking skin tone, okay, that makes you in your fucking career or it makes you in fucking life. It's the will to go out there and bust your fucking nuts. I mean,
you know, Hobbs,
it doesn't matter.
How's we're
well, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with Hobbs on that a lot of it has to do with your own motivation, whatever your obstacles are. If you're motivated, you'll find a way to overcome. But life would be a lot easier for those people who are motivated to overcome those obstacles if they didn't have the government putting obstacles in place with the things like affirmative action.
Right.
They got another caller on the line, so I'm going to drop you off, and I'm going to pick up
thanks
our 803 area code. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Hobbs. 803 area code. You're on the uses on your brain. 803 area code. I just hung up on Hobbs to bring him on the line.
Hello?
Hey, 803 area code. You're on the use. It's on your brain.
Welcome back, Ben.
Oh, sorry. I was actually just listening to the background on the thing because my internet stopped picking it up. Yeah, I got dropped off earlier. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know if my phone kicked
out. Yeah, you
out
were supposed to be, man. You were supposed to be dropped off after you made your point and we did a discussion. I'm sorry about that. Apparently you didn't catch the memo of the first.
I have no idea what happened.
Well, I think he tried to call back in earlier and the call dropped by itself. So I don't know what happened there. But what do you got to say now, man?
I was actually just listening to it on the phone. I didn't realize I actually hit one somewhere in there to get in the show.
If you just want to listen, I can put you on mute so you can hear the show.
Yes, you're on mute, man.
Okay, so we got about a half an hour left here. You know, Hobbs makes an excellent point that, and this is the way it should be. This is my naive view of the world, I guess.
Yeah,
that your personal
should
merit.
Matter. Yes.
Right, your personal merit should be what helps you exceed or succeed. But what you're saying, I know it's true. I've experienced it myself. But Hobbs is missing out on because he works at a small company where it is.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to deal with any of those quotas because they're a small company. They fall under that government radar. But if Hobbs were to try to go get a job someplace where there were 50 slots available, so there are 50 positions open.
Yeah, I can guarantee him and you that there would be more Mexicans and blacks than white guys because they have to fill more quotas of them versus the whites, of course.
Or even if five of those positions had to go to a minority, if five of those positions had to go to somebody with purple hair and green polka dots on their skin,
yes,
no minority whatsoever.
Yes, and they wouldn't care whether or not they
mandate.
Had the same qualifications, exactly.
Right. Right, and if Hobbs didn't make the cut to get one of the other 45 spots.
Well, what happened? Feedback, not pleasant.
All right, I don't know what happened there. Who's still on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened there. The call dropped off. It shows me in there in the host position. The phone hung up on me. But what I was saying, I guess, was that if there were five spots...
Dude,
like
Jason, man. Jason. Jason.
What's that?
Jason, let me try calling back in, man. I'm still getting this kind of like a wind static kind of thing, man. Let me try calling back in real quick, okay, man? One second, man.
Okay. We're experiencing some technical difficulties here, so hang tight for just a second. I'm going to clear the board here. Bear with me a moment. Hey, man.
Dude, I'm still getting this like strange static to where it's kind of like wind on my end.
Right. I hear it. It's on my end. I think it's because I'm on two different lines. Hang on just a sec. I'm gonna drop myself off the guest line here, and I'll try calling in on another phone. So
okay,
hang tight.
Yep.
All right, I should be reconnected now. We'll see if I get some feedback in the chat room. See if we can move on with our show. Oh, we only got 20 minutes left anyways before we hit the 2-hour mark. And I will keep making noises until I get a response from the chat room saying, yep, we can hear it. No, can't hear me. Let me bring Rotten back on the line. Hey, man.
Oh, you can hear me now. Cool. I was talking.
Yeah, I can hear you. You can hear me.
Yeah.
It sounds like the noise has gone away.
Yeah, what's wrong with that, dude? Dude, man, seriously,
I don't,
man. Yep.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio screwing up from all I can think of. Oh, I tried calling back in a couple times on the regular phone and got the all circuits of busy thing going on. It's BTR. It's the internet radio. These are the pains you go through when you you do this kind of shit. We're only paying $40 a month for this shit anyway, so you know it's not going
to
work all the time.
What would it cost for us to go to the more professional circuit?
It would cost advertising dollars.
No,
that's what it would cost. We're not getting income on this deal right here. So until this thing starts paying for itself, we're just going to work with what we have, I think.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, coming out of pocket for more than $10 a week for this doesn't make any sense right now. If somebody wants to buy advertising space, we're offering advertising space. Both the images on the image reel that you see on the website page while you're listening to the show live and listening to the archive, and while you're doing the, you know, listening to the archive, you know, and while we're on the air, we actually can talk about whatever you got going on. So shoot me an email. You know how to get a hold of me. Anyways, real quick, there was something brought up in the chat room I wanted to address since we only got a few minutes left. Discussing what happens or what our position is on, you know, a situation where the situation is reversed, where the whites are in the minority, and that's something actually is going on here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
I mentioned that we have the same thing with the fire department. The test, there were not enough Hispanics or blacks passing the test, so there was this big deal about how we don't have enough representation of blacks and Hispanics on the fire department, which meant in my mind, if you're going to correct that issue, it means you're going to have substandard firemen, basically, and that
yep.
could be a problem to come to point a hose at your house. With police officers, I think I've made this point before on another show, with police officers, I actually understand, because it's part of their job, that they have representation that matches the demographics of their city. That
yeah.
you don't want to have too many white cops in a black neighborhood. You don't want to have too many black cops in a Hispanic neighborhood, that kind of thing, because the neighborhood will start trusting police because they don't see familiar faces. They don't see people who look like them. And therefore, they'll feel oppressed. So with police officers, you kind of have to have that situation. The situation we have here in Austin, which is kind of a role reversal, is that apparently we have more Hispanic and black officers in our police department than we do, you know, the equal demographics. That the white
population
here is still...
Look where you are, man. How far are you from the border there, you know? That's not exactly something to, you know...
But the population here in Austin, I think it's 46% white, and then it's mostly Hispanic after that, then mostly black, and then, you know, so on and so forth. But there's not for the police officers, the police department is not 46% white. It's a much, it's like almost half that, like 23% or 20% white. So they're talking, there's not a bunch of a stink being raised about it, okay?
Of course,
the culture, we're culturally trained. If somebody in a blue uniform walks to the door, he's got a pistol and a badge, that's a cop, and he's your friend, you know?
Right.
So that's what, you know, that's what we're taught to believe, basically. So, you know, it's not as big of an issue, but the newspapers have, I'm surprised, brought it up because they made such a stink about the thing with the fire department. The point I was making before we had all these technical issues with Hobbs was that if Hobbs, you know, lost his spot to a lesser qualified person, no matter what the conditions
yep.
were, due to the fact that he didn't have the right skin pigment, it would be a different story.
And you basically sing the same song I am about the whole situation as well.
Right, and that's what happens is with affirmative action, you give people who aren't willing to earn the opportunity. That's where Hobbes is, you know, the disconnect is, or the paradox in Hobbes' thinking is. And I don't mean to call Hobbes out of this. I understand what he's saying, that, you know, affirmative action means that, you know, good people who wouldn't normally have the opportunity to advance.
That's not how it works.
When it works. Right. That is
it
not how it works.
Though. It never has
worked.
The way it works, right.
Because what Hobbes says is he's gotten through on hard work, on blood and sweat and making it happen, on getting out there every day and doing his damnedest. Right. Good for him and good for anybody else that can do that. But that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. With affirmative action, you don't have to do that. It doesn't matter how much you bleed and sweat. It just matters what your skin pigment is.
Skin tone.
How much melatonin you have. Right. So that's where that disconnect is at. And this is the other thing. It's like when we're talking about homeless people. When I sat there and said, you hand a guy a dollar every day, he never has to go out and get it for himself.
He never has to go out and do for himself, and you're basically holding him down. Well, when you tell a whole segment of the population that don't worry about, you don't have to try as hard as everybody else, you just be you, and we'll let you advance anyways. Right. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You're basically holding him down. I've said this about, you know, in art. Back in my college days, going to a show that was a women's art show. It was all female artists. The artwork wasn't women themed. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't necessarily all about women or whatever. It was just the artists all there were female. They did all kinds of shit. And some of it was good, some of it was bad, typical of an art show. But the thing was, is like these people were saying that, hey, we know that you ladies can't make the cut out in the world with the rest of those artists. So we're going to give you a special show just for you, so you have that opportunity.
Oh.
I mean, that's all fine. That's all fine and good, but that's the way I see it. That's all fine and good, and that's what affirmative action is saying to these people. Hey, we know you guys can't hack it. We know you people can't hack it. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a special program so that you sit in the class anyways.
But isn't that fair, though? That is not fair
to
me.
Well, that's not fair.
In my education,
it's
not
fair,
fair
to them.
Man.
It's not fair to them. It's not fair to them because, like, they go out, they take those classes. They do what you're saying they do. They just show up. And you have to blame the colleges for part of this, too. You have to hold colleges responsible because the colleges, you know, when they just show up for class and get signed off, well, the colleges get paid for them being there, basically. You know, they make their little government quota. They don't care if those guys work or not. So then they get that degree, they get that piece of paper in their hand, and they walk out into the job market, and if the quota's already been met in that company, they're fucked.
Do you have a question for you, man?
Nope.
Where did the stereotype come from where blacks were basketball players? Because the three in my class are basketball players. I'll be honest. I have mostly whites. There's three black guys and one black girl. The black girl's kind of flaky, to the least. But the three blacks are generally, they don't show up, or that's generally how it goes, and they don't generally show up until about three-quarters through the class. They do the work. I'll admit they do the work. Whether or not it's a good amount of work, I don't know, but the teacher just signs them off as they were being the whole class. That's how it goes. To me, that's bullshit. Because if I was to walk in that late, this teacher personally would probably ream my ass. And that's generally how it is. I personally don't agree with whether or not if they're black or they're white or they're Hispanic or they're Chinese. They should basically matter. If this kid is not coming in there, you know, at the start of the class, they should lose points for that day. They shouldn't just basically be written off. They were there the whole time. They should basically have a absence after halfway through. And basically have so many absences. After six absences in most of my class, you were given an F. There's no way around it. You were given an F. And I don't feel as if I'm white, fine, fuck, why not? But I don't feel as if that is fair to myself. If I was to do this, that I would get the same treatment. Well, if that was,
Just like this kid's walking down the street in a neighborhood he's not familiar in, he's wearing a hoodie and he's wearing baggy pants, and some overzealous, you know, wannabe cop, you know, follows him around and shit, just because of the way he looks, it's unfair, but it's just the way it is. The same with what we got going on and what you got going on with affirmative action in your colleges. It's unfair. It's unbelievably unfair, but it's just the way it is.
I have next show topic. Let's table technology and go with how do we fix this? Next show topic.
How do we fix this?
Yeah,
okay.
Seriously, man.
We can do that. I just don't see it being a very long show, because the short answer is everybody needs to stop worrying about race, and the more you run into a problem with that is.
We have to bring up the issues of race as well, even further than we have this time around. We've basically been focusing on Trayvon Martin for the last hour and a half.
Sure.
So we have to definitely go delve more deeply into the whole idea of race. And I'm sure you and I both have stories of, you know, where racial profiling was completely and utterly wrong, you know, whether it be on dress or whether it be in our medium, it's completely wrong, you know. And I think we've got to fill an hour of at least that. You know, come on now.
Sure, sure. Okay, and the I think the problem we'll address then in the show is that the racism problem has changed. That in the 1940s, 1950s, 60s, and 70s, racism was about a certain segment of the population being held down.
Yes.
In the 90s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, racism is now, the problem with racism is now is that there's a certain segment of the population being held up.
Where they shouldn't be, exactly.
And that they feel entitled. People feel entitled. I mean, that's the problem with society in general, the entitlement mentality.
See, I don't see it as much around maybe the whites as much as I see it around the blacks of day and age, or even the Hispanics. I see it so much more among the quote-unquote minorities than I see it around the whites. Maybe it's because I'm in a smaller demographic of town. That I'm not going to deny the fact that my town upbringing probably has skewed my racial perceptions of things. I'm not going to deny it. But at the end of it all, I still have to say that race is the hugest issue in society. And I don't see it as a bad thing. I'm sorry, I don't. If you want to call me a racist, fine, call me a racist. I could give, shit less. My email is not attached to the show, What do I care,
Well, when we talk about entitlement, I don't see it so much as what's that?
Okay, in society, when it comes to the whole self-entitlement thing, mm-hmm. I've noticed, especially in my area, that those, it goes whites, blacks, and then Mexicans and that kind of thing. Definitely goes, more the white, the black. And the blacks in my area have this whole self-entitlement spiel with themselves. I don't know whether or not that's societal or whether or not that's more the upbringing. It goes back to this whole idea of being proud of your ethnicity, which I think is a big problem in society, man. I'm sorry, maybe I'm an asshole, but I don't see as to why you should be proud of your upbringing, in my opinion, Whether you're black, Mexican, white, whatever. I don't see as to where that should be the defining factor of who you are, as to where that should be, what basically is the societal determination or even the predetermined idea in which you follow. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, I see it as a cultural thing. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's you're proud of things that you had no control of
exactly.
or no hand in doing. That
yes.
You're a man. You're proud of being a man. You come from a certain economic class. You came from a certain neighborhood, so you're proud of that neighborhood. You went to a certain school and hung out with a certain, you had little to do, next to nothing to do with any of that. And the things that you should be proud of are the things that you actually went out and earned,
but see,
why go
it
earn
be,
it when it's going to be handed to you?
You should be proud of your achievements in life. You shouldn't be proud of the fact that apparently some dude fucked your mother and apparently, spawned you. You shouldn't be proud of that. Even in the, cultural idea of Christianity, you should kind of push this to the side. It should be about what you're doing in your life, not about what made you. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. Now, I do congratulate my mother and father for coming together and giving birth to the pinnacle of evolution, which I am.
Yeah, right.
But then everybody should see themselves that way. Everybody should see themselves as the pinnacle of evolution. And my children have yet to earn that slot, so we'll see how all that goes.
Beat them in the submission,
man. Yeah. So we're going to spend an hour at least next week, kind of hashing out what we'd like to see as solutions to the racism issue. I guess another thing we'll talk about this. I would like to see the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, has been marginalized by our society. When you think Ku Klux Klan, you think rednecks, cousin fuckers, backwoods, just totally country bumpkin motherfuckers.
Say the least, right?
I think that the new Black Panthers should be right there with them.
You know,
really?
how backwards do you get? You know, these are the fucking, these are the urban hillbillies, basically. You know, it just should be the same thing. These people should be marginalized in just the same way.
I think between me and you, we could definitely go on a very, very nice tirade on the whole issue and definitely make an hour, maybe two, on the whole issue, man. Seriously, I think we could.
Right on. Right on. So we only got about 4 minutes and 35 seconds left.
Yeah, man. Roll the outro. I'll talk to you next week. We didn't even run the whole, middle of the spiel kind of deal, did we?
Yeah. Yeah, geez. So, yeah, we'll pick this up next Tuesday. You've been listening to The Ooze.
Later.